Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from the 7th of Luke. Listen to these words one more time. So he replied to the messengers of John the Baptist, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." This is the text, my dear brother and sister. There was absolutely no doubt in old Simeon's mind who this was that he was looking at, who was being presented to the Lord in the temple by his parents. This was the long-promised and long-awaited Savior of the world. And since the point of his life had been met, his wishes had been fulfilled, he now prays that God would let him go to sleep. "Lord," he said, "now let your servant depart in peace, because my eyes have seen your salvation." Old Simeon, that had been waiting to see baby Jesus, the Savior of the world, now felt at peace. Now he could die without any regrets. It's kind of like the way you and I ought to feel right after our baptism. No regrets. At baptism, we meet our Savior. "Now, Lord, let me depart in peace." But he does not immediately dismiss most of us. We are here to spread that message that the angel said, the good news is for all people. And as long as there are people that still don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Liberator, the Yeshua, the one that sets free from sin and death, from certain condemnation, we have a job to do. And it might as well be me and you. We don't have to do this job, but we get to do it. It is a privilege. It is something very, very special. And we do it naturally, without losing too much sleep about how to do it. Because Jesus said, "Don't worry about what you will say when you talk about matters of faith. The Holy Spirit will place the words in your mouth." Really, it's a privilege. And it is a joyful activity. So, while there was no doubt in old Simeon's head, there was no doubt in John the Baptist's head when he first saw Jesus. He had no problem pointing him out in the crowd on the banks of the Jordan, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That phrase is from John the Baptist introducing Jesus to the crowds. And Jesus said, "I came to be baptized by you." He said, "Oh no, I need to be baptized by you." But Jesus wanted to be baptized because that was part of fulfilling the law. That baptism was the exact opposite of this one. That one was what you brought to the table. This one is what God does for you. Here you are passive, there you were active. And Jesus said, "I need to fulfill the law in every requisite, so go ahead, let's do it." And so he was baptized by John. But life changes. You and I are subject to changes every day in our lives. Small changes sometimes, and sometimes tragic and fantastic changes. Large changes. Things that are like night and day changes. John's life had changed. He was in prison, one heartbeat away from Herod's sword, you might say. And in prison, there is very little to do but to sit and think. And when you overthink things, your mind plays games, mind games. It grows confused. John the Baptist was in doubt. I mean, I prepared the way for him. He is the Messiah. Why isn't he doing anything about me being in prison here? Isn't that logic thinking? Yes, but the Word of God has little to do with logic most of the time. This is above logic. Logic is very limited. Want an example? Here it is. Can God do anything he wants to do? Yes. So is he able to create a rock so heavy that he cannot lift it? Well, if he is, then he cannot lift this rock. Can he do anything he wants? You get it? Logic is logic. That's all I say. It has its place. It's not applicable to this. So, John the Baptist was confused, and he needed reassurance. And he sends two disciples to Jesus. So now we want to examine the question, the origin of the question, and the answer. So first, the origin of the question, how did it come about? He was in prison, and it didn't make sense to him that Jesus would not just by magic extract him from there. I mean, we humans are born with the instinct to preserve our lives and to be looking at those nasty soldiers grinding their teeth at you all day long. That does you in. That does a number on your sanity. And John had been born as a very special baby, announced by an angel, Gabriel, the same angel that would later announce the birth of Jesus to Mary. Gabriel appeared to Zachary. Zachary was a high priest. Guess what was expected of John? To follow in his father's footsteps. That's how the priestly succession went from father to son. And yet, he was not a high priest, or not even a priest. He was a prophet, one that would proclaim the voice, that would project the voice, prophetes, to project the voice of God in the desert. He was a preacher of the law. He dropped the hammer of God on God's people squarely. He didn't say, oh, my dear friends, brothers and sisters. No, you brood of vipers, what did you come out to see? He minced no words. He had the tough part to proclaim, to preach, to teach the law of God that convicted people of their sin. Because unless you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you will not accept and receive the Savior when he comes knocking on your door. We need to talk. Unless you are in trouble, you do not see any need for help. John the Baptist was fearing for his life as a prisoner, one heartbeat away from death. Alone and lonely, he started to think. Not rationally, not even theologically, but as a mere human being, not one that had been chosen for a very, well, privileged task to prepare the way for the Lord, to announce that the King is nigh. So he sends these disciples to Jesus to ask him, are you the one, or should we wait for another? And what does Jesus say? Just go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. And then he rattles on what is being done here. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. He had just raised the son of the widow in Nain. And the good news are being preached to the marginalized of society, the poor, the nobodies, those that were not even welcome to stand in the temple, inner court. They had to stand around the periphery. They were as citizens. Jesus reverses that all from the beginning on. The angels come and do not appear to kings in their courts, or not even to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes, etc. They show up in the field and talk and sing the glory to God to the lowest of society, probably illiterate shepherds. To them, Jesus appears in his greatness. You see, the good news is being preached to the poor, just as when I was born, now we continue with that. His message shows us a father that is not that father from Mount Sinai, that when he spoke, the mountain shook and smoked and fire issued from the mountain. The view was so terrifying that Moses, the great man of God, Moses said, "I'm shaking with fear." If Moses was shaking with fear, I'm sure I would have fainted long ago. The greatness of God is now tamed and pacified in Christ. The justice sense of God is that he forgives instead of exact from us the righteousness that is acceptable to God. How often, friends, do you and I spend too much time thinking and too little time doing? And how often do earthly or human philosophical thoughts creep into our meditation? When our meditation is based on any other thought or any other source than the Word of God, it is usually going to be disastrous. It's not going to make us joyful and strong inside. Anxiety and doubt and fear are the result of too much me and too little Jesus in my thinking. Jesus is a factor, an important factor. It is actually the only factor that needs to be in our meditation. May God grant that as we continue to spread the news to all people so that all may see the glory of God and be saved. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.